Darian Sahanaja of the band known as Wonderments, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
The Cara Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cara, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cara Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cara Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cara history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cara Historical Society at carohistocietey@yahoo.com.
The views expressed by on-air volunteer hosts do not reflect the views of Wavefarm or WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, dial 518-622-2598 to either call in live to the studio or record a 3-minute message for broadcast expressing your point of view, or send an email to info@wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org. Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mary Pat Shea of Burr Ridge, Illinois. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
You know, I think that this is, as I said, a polarized world, and people feel very passionately about, you know, various important social questions. So if you, you know, or right now, if you're making work that talks about, say, women generally or abortion, there are going to be some people who very much think women are human beings and should have access and right to control their body and reproduction, and other people who want to control women. If you're, and we'll feel very passionate about that. If you want to talk about, you know, police murdering people, there's some people in this society who think there needs to be more of that, that the police need to do more of that and be unleashed to do that. And that's, you know, why there are a lot of people who are inspired by Donald Trump. And then there are other people who are like, no, we don't want the police shooting us down and roaming our neighborhoods and terrorizing our communities. And so I always look at the people who are opposed to oppression and think that's my audience. And when I want to make work about important social questions, I'm not that worried about the people that, you know, phone in death threats or send me death threats. I mean, I pay attention to it. But I'm really trying to reach the people who are actually not on that side of the equation and would be inspired by somebody saying, yeah, the police are the inheritors of lynch mob terror. I now understand something more about the history and continuum of this country and thinking about how we might get free.
Thank you. Good evening. You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Radio for Open Ears. That's 90.7 FM here in the lovely Upper Hudson Valley, Greene and Columbia counties and surrounding areas, and also online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WGXC.org. You can check out the live stream and archives there, and lots of other cool stuff. I'm Alana, your host. This is There, where we've been on the first Sunday of every month for something like 7 years, which is kind of blowing my mind. It doesn't seem possible. This is going to be my last show at this time slot. I'm doing my show tonight in Catskill, in the lovely Catskill studio, looking out over Magpie Bookshop and etc., Sister Salvage. Things are looking good. People have a few holiday lights up. It's been really nice following Kevin Factor's Foraging Ahead for all these years, or many of these years. He always does a lovely show, and I always enjoy listening to it in my car if I'm driving right beforehand. All best to Kevin, and I'm going to be switching over to the Tuesday night slot from 8 to 10 p.m. once a month. It's going to be the first Tuesday, I believe. I hope I'm telling you the truth. First Tuesday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. I'm going to change up the format a little bit, probably break it into part one and part two for the 2 hours, and you'll hear more about that in January. But my first Tuesday night show in December is going to be Giving Tuesday. So there's going to be some special shenanigans for that. But thank you to everyone who has listened on this at this time, tuned in, or just accidentally stumbled upon it. And also, I'm thinking in particular of my pal, Sam Sebrin, who's, I believe he's had a show in this slot for many, many, many years. It's an honor to hold this slot with you. Actually, I should look at the program schedule and see who else is in the 7 to 8 hour. Anyway, I won't waste your time as I futz around on the computer. But thank you for tuning in. We just heard the Plastic People of the Universe with Magik Nosi. And, they were a favorite band of Václav Havel, and I feel like as we face down the new regime coming in here in the United States in January, and unknown, future, what the implications are going to be in practice of this new far, far right regime, like the likes of which we've never seen in the United States, as far as I can tell, and there's definitely some. At least some talk about wanting to repress peaceful protest and things like that. So, it'll be interesting to see how things play out. And interesting is not really the right word. It's going to be, it's going to be something we have to all stay awake to. But anyway, I thought I would, I was thinking about Václav Havel. He knows a little bit about repressive regimes and making art. I'm just going to read a little quote from an interview that he did in 1986 with the BBC. He said, writers in this country are expected to produce more than just readable books. The idea that a writer is a nation's conscience has its logic and tradition here. This tradition continues in the totalitarian system and acquires a special flavor. The written word acquires some extra radioactivity. Otherwise, they wouldn't be locking us up for it. I confess that sometimes I feel like screaming. I don't want to play the part of a nation's conscience. I only want to do what other writers do, tell the truth. Or you cannot expect hope to be delivered to you by some professional hope suppliers. You must look for it inside yourselves. But at the last moment, I hold my scream, swallow it, and remind myself of what I was once told. Man's real trial is not in fulfilling the task he gave himself, but in fulfilling the role given to him by fate. It's hard to say what fate we brought upon ourselves. coming up next. Oh, you know what? Before that, we heard a quote before the Plastic People song. We heard a quote from visual artist Dred Scott, and he was taking part in a kind of a seminar that was put on by an organization, Artists at Risk Connection. They do some, I think they do some podcasts and summits. They have a dangerous art / dangerous endangered artists summit, and I think that's what that was from this year. Up next, we have Nervous Rex. See you in a little bit.
Like, any society that is veering towards authoritarianism, that's seeing a weakening democracy, the first thing that they go after are writers, right? Mm-hmm. Public intellectuals and creatives. Because in order to pave the way for regressive policy, you have to control the narrative mm-hmm. first, right? You have mm-hmm. to control how we're thinking about our society. If you feel like you're under attack, if you feel like your history, your experience is being delegitimized, if you actually believe that the real racists are those who are racist against white people, mm-hmm. then when they want to pass these laws and policies, you support them. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, you attack a program like 1619. That's why you treat the trans issue as being the biggest concern in society mm-hmm. as somehow oppressing women. Mm-hmm. That's why you pick the marginalized groups to target, because this is how we allow Americans to basically to condone the shrinking of our own rights. Mm-hmm. And that's what this really is all about, mm-hmm. is the taking away of our collective rights, but acting like we're doing that to protect mm-hmm. The rights of a majority.
Paradise is exactly like
of lives. Language, it's a vital tool.
It's a virus. TV. I mean, they just keep showing you the same pictures over and over and over. And when they talk, they just make sounds that more or less sync up with their lips. That's what I think. To Sunday.
down the rags and silks that passed me. For one who sits and cries for all tomorrow's body.
My city is dying. It is at war with a much more powerful force than ours. It's a war on culture. If we win this war, our prize will be humble. We'll get to keep our language, our way of life. But if we lose, then everything changes. I'm just an artist. What can I do? Use my art to fight the war? I want to join the resistance somewhere. But I couldn't find them. So I become the resistance. Everything is art, everything is politics. The great Chinese artist Ai Weiwei once said, I don't think it's the responsibility of an artist to put politics in their subject matter, but as a citizen, I think it's important to stand up for justice when politics gone bad. So from the Umbrella Movement 5 years ago to the current anti-extradition law movement, I slowly realized my duty, responsibility, and role. I'm not only an artist, I'm an artist citizen. My story began 5 years ago during the Umbrella Movement, which is about fighting for our universal suffrage right in Hong Kong. I was wandering about in the Umbrella Occupy Zone in Admiralty, and then I noticed there was a guy lying on the pavement, and he looked exhausted, and he fell asleep. At first, I thought he's a homeless guy, and then I noticed there was signage in front of him made of cardboard. It reads, Free English Tutorial. Wow. He's a teacher. He's a teacher like me. I was so impressed by these scenes, and I start to ask myself, what can I offer? I think under political polarization, the society will be full of high mental stress. I've seen friends unfriend each other, husband turning against wife, father turning against sons. So I created this project called the Art Study Station. And I have all the subject matters that I know, design, art, architecture, performance, laying in front of me. On the outside, it looks like an art tutorial group. But actually, it is a psychological counseling service in disguise. This project was partly inspired by Sigmund Freud, who happens to have an office here in Vienna a long time ago. Now it's a museum you can visit after the talk. So, I don't have a sofa on the street, but I have the folding chairs there, and I invite the protesters to come have a session with me, free of charge. And I'll play the Sigmund Freud thing. Oh, really? Like that. So they dump all their negative energies on me. In the meantime, I give out a lot of empathy, support, and love. Maybe under political polarization, all we need is someone to listen to our inner voice. So one day, this old man showed up, and he was sharing his life story with me, and suddenly he pulled out some pills from his pocket and raised it up to the sky, and he said, "If they send in the tanks, I'll be the first to block it. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just afraid of dying without a purpose." Pretty dramatic, you can imagine. Another night, I was there feeling very hungry. Suddenly, an apple appeared. I looked up, this little girl handing out apples to the protesters, and behind her were the parents pushing the trolley of a box of apples to be distributed. Another night, it was very cold, and a housewife showed up, pushing a trolley with a kitchen pot on top of it. Very surreal. And she asked me, "Would you like some hot soup?" I was like, "Hell yes, please." That was the tastiest soup I've ever tasted. So remember, it's always the little things that count. There are countless examples of everybody who can contribute to the cause, maybe charging mobile phones, constructing shelters, or just simply distribution of supplies. The most important lesson I learned from the Umbrella Movement is everyone can contribute, and everyone has a role. Just think about the resource that you're bringing into the cause. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of dying without purpose. So, once you find your purpose, then you will have no fear. After a decade of putting my artwork at the front line of protest, I slowly developed this art theory. I call it the 5 points of protest art. Time to take out those notebooks. Big, light, easy, artistic, fast. In acronym is Big Leaf, B-L-E-A-F. Big stands for big in volume. There are so many people in the street protest. The last one I went to involved 2 million people. In that situation, you're not going to see very far. Mostly the back of the guy standing in front of you. And if you make a signage that is so small, no one's going to see it. So whatever you do, make sure it's big. Bigger than life kind of big. Way above everybody's head so people can see it far, far away. Light, it stands for lightweight. Imagine you're carrying a big cross on your back, and it's made of solid wood, okay? And you're a walking spectacle. Everybody loves you and looking at you, but you're not going to go very far. So people go to the protest because they want to punish the enemy, but you don't want to end up punishing yourself. So whatever you do, maybe put some wheels under the props or build it out of lightweight material. This way you don't have to carry anything. Just push your happy protesting trolley to the end of the finish line. Easy stands for easy to understand. Exhibiting in the protest site is very different than exhibiting in museum or gallery. People who go to museum and gallery already are looking for art. In the protest site, they're all accidental viewers. If you make something too difficult to understand, no one get it. And your message will literally be lost in the crowd. So try to tune down your work a bit. Make sure it can be understood in a few seconds so your message communicates well with everybody. Oh, by the way, that guy looks like a Chinese police. That's me. Artistic. Oh, this is deep. Aesthetic, craftsmanship, and meaning. There are many attributes in the word artistic. Maybe form, maybe craftsmanship, color, material. But I think most importantly, meaning. I think it's human nature to like to look at beautiful, well-crafted things. They demand attention, appreciation, and respect. And when the protesters see somebody who are willing to spend the time crafting something beautiful for their cause, they feel like their cause is being taken seriously. And it will capture the attention of everyone, especially the press. So that's me doing a sketch of the protesters. One day I was walking around, I saw a poster. There's a quote on it. is by Nelson Mandela. It's like, it always seems impossible until it's done. I was like, wow, it's like us, you know, occupying here. And then I asked myself, do I have some like seemingly impossible skills that I have? And then I realized I can draw people's face without looking at the drawing paper and talk to them, and all done within 35 seconds. Wow, that's called blind drawing. And there you go. So I go around and ask people, would you like some free portrait? And then I draw them and talk to them and ask them how they feel. I can draw like this without looking at the paper. If you want one, I'll be outside. I have done thousands of these kind of sketches. After I finish, I give it to the protesters as a souvenir of their courage. They didn't chicken out. They came out. And that's the test. That's the testimony of it. FAST stands for Fast Dissemination, Sharing, Go Viral. So during the Umbrella Movement 5 years ago, there was a big storm coming. I was so worried for the students because their camp just kind of put on the slope on the highway and they would get washed away. I used to do research with the homeless people in Hong Kong and I learned how to build the perfect urban shelter from them. They're expert in this. They told me, first, you get some pallets. And then you get some mattress, put the mattress on top of the pallet, build your camp on top of that, and make sure the whole thing is built underneath a flyover. I was like, wow, let's do that. So I make a little sketch and post it on my own Facebook, and it got 2,256 shares immediately. 2 days later, some guy, maybe Greg Minds think alike, drop a pile of pallets on the Occupy Zone so everybody can use it. Never underestimate the power of the individual. Go share it. You might change it. I actually look like this. Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. You put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into the bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put water into a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend. That's not me. That's Bruce Lee. Thank you. So I was wondering, how can I become formless and shapeless? In a protest, you put people into the street. It becomes the street. So after the July 21st police, an allegedly gangster-collaborated terrorist-style attack on the protesters, on this photograph, the people wearing white T-shirts, they're gangsters. And the people wearing black T-shirts is actually pro-democracy protesters. And, you know, that guy got beaten up pretty badly there. So this is how I look. I'm old school gangster, straight from the 1970s. The project is called Choi Go, or Brother Choi. Long hair, sunglasses, armpit bag. So this is 7 days after the attack in Yuen Long, and I'm there at the front line, observing the situation. Nobody dared to come challenge me. Why? Because I have the look of violence written all over me. You know, not even the police, because they might think I'm one of their accomplices. I'm working for them. Right now, Hong Kong is going through a stage of, from a traditional civil disobedience all the way to the uncivil disobedience. Within the civil disobedience way of thinking, you know, we break the rule and we wait and wait for the police to arrest us. And then that way we honor the law. In the uncivil way of uncivil disobedience way of thinking, the law is so unjust, like the anti-extradition law, which is about sending people of Hong Kong into China for unjust trial, or the recently passed anti-mask law that, you know, you cannot wear a face mask. So why follow it? Just break it. And then flow away like water. So this way, it's not really about breaking the law, but rather it's about honoring the just law that we believed in. So, as violence go about on both sides, police violence as well as protester violence, hiding one's identity and disguising oneself becomes more and more important. It's like tactical. So, oh, by the way, this is not me. This is actually a preacher trying to block a real police pistol in order to protect the students. What a noble thing he did. That's a real gun. I have many disguises, involve cosplay and looking not myself. And this is me in the most violent form of police, the Special Tactical Unit, STU. But I change it to SSTU, which stands for Special Singing Tactical Unit. Let's look at the video, if we can. Do we have sound? No.
年月把擁有變做失去 疲倦的雙眼帶着期望 今天只有殘留的軀殼 迎接光輝歲月 風雨中抱緊自由 一生經過彷徨的掙扎 自信可改變未來 問誰又能做到
Like that. Thank you. I hope you can read the subtitle. So that's me, happily singing with the protesters, dressing like the most brutal police. This work was inspired by the Baltic Way 30 years ago from Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. The Hong Kong people were doing the Hong Kong human chain. So art maybe is about singing and dancing. And in the process, we become one big strong solidarity. Oh, that's me again. As Leonidas the First from the movie 300, minus the six packs, of course. That day, so many young protesters come up to me and praise me of how handsome I look. But notice, I didn't have to show my face. I have no face, I only have a helmet. So when they come up to me, I'll say, "For Sparta, tonight we die in hell." That's me again, holding on to my principle, sorry about the finger. Maybe art is about rediscovering the courage inside of our heart that is buried deep under fear. Oh, that's me again, as Moses, holding the five commandments, and it was caught on TV. Let's see if the video worked properly. Let's go to the video, please. And then people are yelling, "Hong Kong, add oil! Hong Kong, add oil!" Today, I brought with me the five commandments for the people of Hong Kong. The five commandments. First, withdraw the China extradition bill. Second, revoke the rioting terminology. Third, drop all charges on protesters. And fourth, set up independent commission of inquiry. And finally, the fifth, true democracy for the people of Hong Kong.
Why are you coming out?
God sent me.
What's the meaning of you dressing up like this? You look like a shepherd. What's that supposed to mean?
Today, my name is Moses. I come here to lead the people of Hong Kong into freedom and democracy.
Oh, thank you.
My city is dying. But I didn't just stand on the sideline and watch. I fight and I resist with all I do, what I do best, in art. With the understanding of my responsibility as an artist citizen, you don't have to be an artist to do what I do. You can just do what you do best. Remember the little girl distributing apple? The little girl citizen. Remember the housewife distributing hot soup? The housewife citizen. And remember the teacher on the sidewalk trying to give out free English lesson. The teacher citizen. My city is dying. Democracy is failing. Personal freedom at last. My story is not a local story, but the first chapter of dystopia that might be coming your way. The enemy will not be of a foreign face, but a familiar face that acts foreign. Abusive centralized government, invasion of privacy, violent police, re-educational concentration camps. Totalitarian government can be formless and shapeless too. I have a dream. One day, all the protesters, or even the police, will come and take out the disguise and weapons, and we're going to all meet up underneath the Hong Kong Legislative Council building and throw a gigantic reconciliation party. We'll be drinking and laughing and dancing, cracking jokes about our great endeavors during the protests. But the funny thing is, we might not be able to recognize each other. But that doesn't matter. We were there. We know. I have a dream, but that dream might not be able to realize soon. There's a quote from Umbrella Movement I like a lot. It is not that we have seen hope, then we become persistence. It is of our persistence, then it will bring hope. Fight for freedom. May glory to Hong Kong. It's about time. Thank you.
That was visual artist Casey Wong. He was doing a TED Talk at TEDx Vienna. It was called Art of Protest, Resistance and Humor in the Age of Political Absurdity. This has been There, here on WGXC. I'm Alana, your host. Thanks for listening, and be back next month. Stay warm. Oh, yeah! Unity.
Too long, I'm not